The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
710 AM and 105.7 FM, The Word, welcome you to Pastor with our host, Pastor Lance Hahn of Bridgeway Christian Church, as he talks heart-to-heart with pastors and ministry leaders. Learn what God is doing in our churches and communities, testimonies, areas of challenge, opportunity, transformation, and the exciting hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Lance with today's guest.
Welcome, my friends, to the program. I got to say that throughout this last year, I've got a chance to talk to so many of you listeners that really enjoy the show. And I think that a lot of it has to do with the amazing people I get to meet right along with you. And so I have somebody that is brand new to me today, and then I have an old friend with me as well. So I have two pastors here, so that means that makes three of us, and which means somehow somebody's going to ask for tithe. So I simply want to just welcome them to the show. I have Pastor Earl Heverly and Pastor Matthew Renault from Cornerstone Community Church. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Thank you, Lance. Good to be with you.
Man, okay, so if everyone is trying to figure out which one's the older friend and which one's the brand new one, I'm going to say that Earl Heverly and I have known each other for a while, and Earl has been leading Cornerstone Community Church for a number of years. And as I look out, and I always look for who are the good guys, right? Who are the ones that care about people deeply? Who are the ones that love the Lord deeply? And Earl is always on my list. So before we even get into any of this stuff, my friend, I really appreciate you, and I'm so thankful for all the years that you have put in. You're going to continue to do ministry. But how long have you been doing it, real quick?
We've been here in Sacramento at Cornerstone just a little bit over 30 years.
Wow.
Been pastoring for 45 between the Bay Area and here.
Man, it is so beautiful. And the opportunity that I got a chance to meet you a number of years ago, and we've kind of screwed around and joked around together. And
yeah, we kind of have.
Cared for each other a lot. Matthew, unfortunately, just got initiated into that today. And so what we're going to talk about today, for those of you that are listening, is we're going to kind of get to know Pastor Matthew a little bit and kind of the beautiful transition that's going on here. So Pastor Matthew, you're brand new to Cornerstone. Are you new to the area?
No. My family and I have been here about 3.5 years so far in Sacramento.
Okay, and I think prior you were involved with Capital, is that correct?
Yep, was there for a couple of years. My wife and I were staff pastors there as well.
Wow. Yeah. So your wife's in ministry too?
She is, yes, she is. We've been ministering together for many years now.
Wow. How long have you been married?
It will be 18 years this May.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That's a really long time.
It's going
kiddos?
Quick. Two kids, one 14 and one 12. So
wow.
Boy, girl and a boy.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to kind of find out a little bit is that, Earl, this is a sense of passing a baton, right? And I remember talking to you, and you were talking about transitions, and you were talking about looking for this. You were oddly cryptic and, like, very protective. You're like, hey, I can't tell you too much right now. It was almost like it was a national secret. But what was so fun is there was a glimmer in your eye. Yeah. When you would talk about who was coming in,
yeah,
and when you finally said, oh, no, we have the guy, there was this kind of a sweetness to it. So can you tell me a little bit about your decision about when is it that God said, all right, we're going to go ahead and do something different here, and how you found Matthew?
Yeah, well, the process actually started almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Do the math. At the time, I was 70 years old, and I knew that my time was winding down here at Cornerstone. But I was desperate for finding the right person because we're in a tough area. The Arden-Arcade area is a difficult place to pastor. And I know because I've been there and I've watched, literally, Lance, I have watched 20 churches come and go in Arden-Arcade. And that speaks to the challenge of pastoring there. And you've got to have somebody who understands urban people.
Yep.
And so we had begun the process. It actually had two other attempts at succession. With wonderful, wonderful couples. I mean, great people, great,
amen.
Great people of God, but they were not the right people for that church.
Yes.
And so we had to begin the process, release them, and then say, okay, Lord, we're trusting you. And that's really what was going on a year and a half ago when we finally did connect with Matt and Mandy through our superintendent with the Assemblies of God. Brett Allen got us together. And I'm not going to lie, Nancy and I went to coffee with these guys. We went to Starbucks, and I walked out of there saying, this is the guy. It was just that level of assurance in my spirit. I had to say spirit. It was not in my heart yet. It sure was not in my head because I was 0 for 2.
Right. So, yeah, you didn't have the confidence that you were picking right yet.
I've got issues with me.
Yeah.
But that's what began was that place, getting to know them, and them getting to know us.
Yeah.
I think that was the big part was to find a way.
That's it.
For them to get to see not only who Cornerstone is, but who the community is.
Right.
And then for the church to get to know who they are.
Yeah.
And so that's the road we've been on for almost a year and a half.
You know, it's so fascinating because most of my life, you know, you tend to think about, oh, am I going to get this job, or are they going to like me, or, you know, if you were in acting, trying to go on auditions, and am I good enough? And what you end up finding out through life is so much of it is about timing and chemistry. It's not about whether or not we're good enough. It's mm-hmm. actually simply about, well, what's the scenario, what's the situation, and what's the timing? So when we talk about other people that you had considered for the job, they could be the greatest people on the planet. The question is it right? And is it right now?
Yes.
And so for a lot of that, I think that especially for those of us that are listening to all this, sometimes we're always thinking through the lens of rejection. And you go, well, hold on. You inside, you're doing great. God is in you. He's moving through you. And just because this opportunity didn't work out doesn't mean you're less. It simply means that God is organizing and orchestrating, ordaining steps, and that he's working in this process, and it may not be right. He may be saving you from frustration later on. So what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, you know the big picture. Will you please guide me? And so for you, Pastor Earl, just being able to trust that and say, Lord, you do know the right one. And so I got to just work with you. I know it's not in my timing. It never seems to work out the way I want it to, the fastest way I want it to. But ultimately, you find a blessing. And you find a blessing in Pastor Matthews.
Huge blessing.
Pastor Matt, real quick, how did you kind of get into ministry? We're going to zoom back a little bit. So give me that kind of plan.
Yeah, so we're talking about the radio station today, and I have a deep heritage of it. My great-grandfather graduated from the Moody Bible Institute in 1917. So the Moody radio was what I grew up with. So I love Christian radio. And it was always in my heart, if you're going to go to the ministry, you need to go to Moody Bible Institute. And so I actually started feeling the call to the ministry when I was about 15 years old. And I come from a family where there's a lot of missionaries and some pastors, but I knew I was called. And so it began a journey of us saying yes to Jesus. And it wasn't instant. It was a process. And we said yes to Jesus and went to a couple of different Bible schools, eventually found our way back to Chicago. And went to Moody. That's where I met my wife. And in the second week I was there, I was blessed to connect with the church plant from the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. And Al and Chrissy Toledo from the Chicago Tabernacle had just started their church just a little over a year ago. Stepped into that church, and there was about, I think, about 50 to 60 people at the time. And that began the beginning of an incredible 16 years of not only growing with the church, but growing in the ministry. I graduated in 2006 from school, and then I came on staff almost 2 weeks later, and was blessed to be able to be an admin assistant, a youth pastor, a technical director, and then became the executive pastor and the CFO over those periods of times, and were able to really be a part of seeing all the different seasons of a church growth. And I was on the preaching team, and as Pastor Earl mentioned, we were in the urban core of Chicago. And so being able to be not only in an ethnically diverse situation, but a place where the broken and the needy really were. And that was really a major focal point of our ministry.
Yeah. It was something that you said that I always want to remind everybody that's listening is that you got here through a series of yeses, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And you would love to keep asking him, so what's around the next corner? Mm-hmm. And usually he's pretty quiet about it. I found that out from Abraham. So he's kind of, that's his MO. So it's a, well, I don't know. I don't have the whole plan yet, so I'm just going to say, well, it's in front of me, and I feel like the Lord, it's resonating in my spirit. I feel like I'm supposed to say yes here. Mm-hmm. And then that's about obedience. Mm-hmm. That's just going, I don't even know if this is necessarily what I want, but I think it's right. Mm-hmm. And then you say yes, and then God keeps opening doors and shutting doors. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about the idea that before we get into modern – business has always been kind of a part of your story.
Right.
And how does that integrated? How has that worked out?
Yeah, so the church was growing in Chicago, and we were in the middle of pretty much a seven-year process to find a facility because we were landlocked. And during that time, we'd gone through multiple building opportunities. We finally found an old theater in the heart of Chicago. It used to be the largest theater in the city of Chicago at the time. And we started renovating it, and through a series of miracles, I was able to see firsthand God work through real estate and finance in the life of a church on a weekly basis. It was incredible. We got through that project, and all of a sudden, I'll never forget, there was a businessman from New York who came, and we were walking around some of the adjacent properties. There were apartments and storefronts and businesses, and he started to say, hey, if God gave you the faith, you could potentially acquire some of these properties. And you could then cash flow some of these other ministries. Because when you're in the urban core, what's hard is your tithe, the giving per attendee is way lower typically than you would in a typical suburban affluent area.
Right.
And so a huge part of urban ministry is also the ability to have, we call it business as mission. Lord, are there other avenues that you want us to use to be able to really elevate the income base of a church so you're not overtaxing single moms and all this? And so that's when we looked around, and we were all Bible school graduates, a bunch of those young guys. And there's only so much you can do on QuickBooks Online. You know, at a certain point, we realized someone here needs to get another level of training. And it happened to me. So I went back, and I went back to business school and was blessed to be able to get into one of the top business schools. And we graduated. And then the Lord started putting the pieces together. And I was in a prayer meeting, and I didn't want to go back to school. I did not want to go back to school. And I was in a prayer meeting, and I felt the Lord say, sit down. And I sat down. And we had a weekly prayer meeting, worship, hundreds of people in the room calling upon the Lord. But he said, sit down. I sat down in the front row. He said, open your Bible. I opened it. This maybe only happened to me four or five times in my entire life. And it said, go to the book of Daniel chapter 1. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was in my, it was very strong. So I opened the book to Daniel chapter 1, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, start to read. And I start to read through Daniel chapter 1 in it. And the part of the scriptures where it says that Daniel and the Hebrew boys were 10 times better than the rest, I felt the Lord tell me, Matt, I'm sending you to be trained by the Babylonians, because I need to make you 10 times better than you are today for my glory. And so that was the final, okay, I'm not going to fight you on this. So that's what the business school. And then that's where a lot of the business acumen. So a lot of guys come from the business world into the ministry. For me, I was in the ministry needing to get another level of training. And that was kind of what started us on this path, and then been privileged to be able to be a part of, you know, lots of different kingdom business ventures. Yeah.
You've been listening to the voice of Pastor Matt Renault and Pastor Earl Heverly of Cornerstone Community Church out there on Cottage Way in Sacramento. If you want to know more information, and maybe you're looking for a home, maybe this is just the season where you're saying, man, I gotta connect in with a body, or if you're just falling in love with Jesus and you've never even had a church family, you can go to CCC. That really stands for Cornerstone Community Church, CCC, SAC, for Sacramento, cccsac.org, and find out about times, locations, all that stuff. So I want to go back to something that you said, because I want to talk about this business thing. Are you still bivocational or no?
I am, yes, I am bivocational.
And so what does that mean for our listeners to be bivocational?
Well, the vast majority, actually, of pastors in America, many of them are bivocational, because, you know, the average church size, I think in America, is 75 or something like that. That was not the normal journey for me. I'd always been a full-time 9-to-5, 40, quote, 40 hours a week.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that sounds awesome.
Or so.
Or plus or minus 20 or 30. And, you know, on a church staff. And what was really amazing about when we launched out to senior pastor, feeling God calling us to step into a smaller work, was realizing, you know what, Lord, I think you're calling me to be bivocational. And with the background and what we have, We were able to do that, and so it's been a great step of faith, a series of yeses, as you said.
Yeah. So the job that you do in addition, mm-hmm. is it varied, or do you have a pretty consistent other role?
It's varied. It's a primary base. I have a consulting firm where I help, and the mission of it is to accelerate high impact organizations. So I work with churches, nonprofits, and some mission driven businesses. To help come in, and my sweet spot lands in the area of finance, strategy, and operations. Mm-hmm. And so I come in, and I'm a bit of a pariah in that sense, because I can lead in finance, but I can also lead people. And so that's been a need in a lot of organizations. So the Lord's opened up a variety of doors. From one of the largest housing developers in California has asked me to come in and help them close on some financial transactions, all the way down to small local nonprofits who are asking for support on their budget and their finances. So it's been a really exciting journey seeing God open the doors, and then there's some churches that have said, hey, can you come in and do support us as well in coaching and overhauling some of our structures and systems and stuff. So,
yeah. Now, I'm going to nerd out for a second. If you're listening and you're going, man, that so far was great. I hope Lance doesn't ruin it. I'm actually going to ruin it right about now. And the reason why is there's something that you said that I just want to run down for a second, if you're willing to listen in on this and kind of see behind the curtain of churches. So one of the things is that there's been a historic challenge towards business and church. In other words, the idea of, oh no, the church is acting too much like a business. Well, I was sharing with our congregation recently, in the 90s, I believe God actually led a movement to say, hey, church leaders, you're not very good at organizational leadership. And suddenly he brought in a bevy of information of going, we can learn and actually lead the organizational part much better. It's not to change the church into a business. It's to say there are portions of the church that need to be run well, and they were not being done well. So I believe it was a movement of God. Mm-hmm. Now, along that, you also have the situation where churches end up having to do things with investments. Everybody just says, well, what you should probably do is you just take the tithe and then you keep it in the bank. The problem with that is, as everybody has seen, we have inflation challenges. So everything that's in the bank is losing its buying capability. Mm-hmm. So for example, at Bridgeway, we got into this big discussion of going, well, if you have money sitting there that is earmarked for something, but it's not earmarked to be used yet, what do you do with it? You go, well, we'd never risk it. You don't want to risk anybody's money. You go, well, hold on. There's always risk. Mm-hmm. Keeping it there is a risk, and the buying power goes down. So all of a sudden, one of our guys on our board, we have a lot of different financial gurus around there, and he's like, well, we can do staggered CDs that shift off, and we can take care of securing the money. It's not in danger, but it actually ends up keeping up with buying power. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so brilliant, right? So, because of course, I don't know any of that kind of stuff. And so what's intriguing about it is, so for a congregant to hear all that stuff, it sounds scary. Why would the church ever get involved in that? You know, we're looking at leasing out portions to an outside company of our campus as a fundraising probability. And a lot of people would go, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just use it for? You said one line that I think will change people's hearts. You said, we don't want to overtax single moms. And now that is obviously an example. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is there a way where God has given us an ability to say that in addition to the beautiful sacrificial offerings of God's people, is there also a way to steward well so that there is other help coming in so the church can be maximized? And I think that anytime you think through a stewardship lens like that, and it is safe, and it, because, you know, there's always the story of the pastor is day trading, mm-hmm. and loses everything, right. And the church can't, you know, yeah. they go under because yeah. he doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, there's those scary ones too. But what I'm trying to say is, with security, proper stewardship, there is a way to allow Pharaoh to help fund ministry, mm-hmm. and to allow Babylon to train the people. So mm-hmm. anyway, I'm with you, mm-hmm. and I just wanted all of our listeners to know that none of us are thinking in terms of money grubbing. It's called proper stewardship, and we're very concerned about managing your money
right.
well.
Right.
So I want to talk a little bit. We're going to shift gears here, kind of make a sharp right turn, and I'm going to go back. Pastor Earl,
Yes.
The idea of transition. For so many years, you've led Cornerstone into a certain vision pathway that was birthed out of your heart. There has to be a grabbing of that and then a deviation, because it can't be exact. You were built for one exact mission or one exact vision or one exact way of doing things. Now we have Pastor Matthew stepping in. And so how do you handle that as a pastor to go, well, I was carrying this mantle. Now there's a new mantle. Talk to me about that.
For me personally, that was a really easy thing to do.
Praise the Lord.
Because the gifts and talents and abilities that the Lord already put in Matt and Mandy is a very natural extension of what Nancy and I had been building on here. Our biggest challenge was how long it took to build a foundation, because we had to completely rebuild it. I mean, I think about the last 30 years, I spent a lot of times with a jackhammer digging out what was there. We talk about hard soil, but it's been really hard. And that process, there's no fast way around it. In other words, when you're tearing up something out, you can use dynamite or a jackhammer, and dynamite would have been absolutely horrible. So we had to be slower, more methodical, more intentional. But it also meant, okay, we are not going to fulfill the vision God has given us. So when to have Matt come in and talk about numbers, and this is what we believe, this is what we sense God wants to do with Cornerstone, it lines up perfectly with the things God had spoken to us. And so the only difference is we're not going to get there with me at the helm, but the church is going to get there because the Holy Spirit is leading the church. And it's the evidence of that Spirit in Matt and Mandy, along with the gifting, but also their heart for serving people. This is what I was talking about understanding urban people, that the percentage of broken people is so high that to reach them, you've got to have other ways of getting to them. The Renaults understand that. They've done that. And so to bring that here to Cornerstone is literally taking the church to that next level that God intended all along.
For all of you that are listening that would have to do some type of transition, I think that the brilliance of what you heard is that having a heart that God is doing something in a long river that's going to go beyond you. And your job is to monitor and manage your portion of the river. But it is streaming into something greater than you. You take it where you're supposed to take it, and then it's easier to release out when you see fulfillment or fruit that can come from someone else with fresh legs, fresh vision, and actually fresh gifts and talents to be able to take it to that next level. So we only have about 2.5 minutes here. So I just want to know, as you're taking the helm here, Matt, what do you have that just fires you up that you want for Cornerstone?
Yeah, our heart is that the Lord, as Pastor Earl mentioned, that as we have taken the baton, that we would be able to see the Lord build a church that is built upon the Word of God and prayer. And I know that sounds passionately and so overly simplistic, but you know, we started a weekly prayer meeting. I told the congregation, there's only one thing that I know from a fresh vision that we're supposed to do is start a weekly prayer meeting. That's how I grew up, and it's not just how I grew up; it's a core conviction of mine. Of Lord, unless you build the house, those who build it labor in vain. And so that's a bit of it. And I've grown up leading prayer meetings for many years. We have worship. We have prayer. It's a very dynamic environment. But I do know that as we do that, the Lord is going to be the one who builds the church. I was reading this morning in the book of Acts, and it just struck out to my spirit where it talks about, this is after Saul persecuted the church. And it said that the church there was the fear of the Lord, and they enjoyed the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer this morning was, Lord, grow us truly in the awe and reverence of the Lord and who you are, and grow us in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, so that when anybody walks into the doors of this church, they truly encounter the deep, comforting love of the Lord. And they've had that for many years, but there's a new level of that You know, that's how broken people are attracted. All the programming is wonderful. All the stuff that we do in church life is fine. At the end of the day, when they walk into our gatherings, are they encountering the comfort of the Lord and the heart of God? If they are, then we're on the right track. That's right. At this point, that's our biggest heart and our biggest desire, and we know the Lord's going to do the rest from there.
It's absolutely beautiful. You've been listening to the voices of Pastor Matthew Renault and Pastor Earl Heverly of Cornerstone Community Church. If you want to know more information in the Arden Arcade area, want to be a part of it, that would be cccsac.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed Pastor to Pastor with our host, Pastor Lance Hahn of Bridgeway Christian Church. If you'd like more information about today's guest, go to thewordsacramento.com under the Programs tab to learn more about our Church of the Week, or call us at 916-924-0710. We appreciate all area pastors and leaders for their selfless commitment to God and our region. Join us next week for another glimpse into God's wonderful and expansive church on Pastor to Pastor.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.